Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I'm Paul. That gentleman is Ian. We've got a great show for you today. We've got some other great stuff that we got to talk to you about real quick, and we got to do it first. I want to talk to you about Inside Texas. Get Inside Texas for one American dollar your first week. As a bonus, your membership includes a complimentary year to The Athletic. Pretty awesome deal. And speaking of athletic and athletics, you got to go buy Thinking Texas Football. This is the premier burnt orange Bible about Texas football, our 2025 season. Arch Manning on the cover, of course. And I break down every single SEC opponent, every Texas opponent. I break down the larger landscape of college football, including roster building in the modern era. I think you'll find it fulfilling, gratifying. It's 61,000 words and 150 printed pages of Longhorn goodness. I promise you, it blows every preview out of the water. Ian, I'm lucky to have you with me because you blow every other preview analyst out of the water. I added out of that water. That saved that comment there. That was heading south quickly.
Thank you.
But Ian, welcome. And I want to do something fun with you. Are you interested in talking about units that we face, that opponents have, the best units that Texas will face? And how about we do a little draft? And in that draft, that might be a little bit clarifying in showing what we value, who we value, and where Texas will face some of its greatest challenges at the unit level. You game?
I'm down. I'm prepared.
All right, Ian, because you are my guest and my co-host, I'm going to offer you first pick in our first subset. So what is our first unit that we will discuss?
Today on the Paul Wadlington Show, featuring Paul Wadlington with Ian Boyd.
Welcome to the Deep Dive, featuring Paul Wadlington with
sidekick. Like when I can't remember that comedian that ran for Senate in Minnesota. He used to make fun of Hannity and Colmes.
Al Franken.
And it would be like Hannity and Colmes.
Yeah.
All right. Offensive line is our first unit. I have the first pick. I am taking Florida. I don't know if you're mad because you're going to do the same thing. I don't know if they're like the most athletic or the most talented offensive line that Texas will face, but they are skilled and they're very big and physical. And they gave Texas a little bit of trouble last year, potentially could give Texas trouble this year. If there's one team that you worry about actually just lining up and running downhill on Texas for a game, it's Florida. Probably more even than Georgia.
Yeah, I think also not just because of the natural ability of that offensive line, but we're going to talk about running backs later. We like Florida's running back room. And DJ Lagway, if he's healthy, he scares you. He makes you reluctant to drop that extra defender into the box.
Lagway makes that field big.
He makes the field big. Thank you. Just like Arch Manning. I like that pick. That was going to be my first round pick. And I actually think there's only two selections here that are debatable. The other one is who I'm going to pick, the Texas A&M Aggies. Huh. I actually think Texas A&M is going to have a good offensive line. I think Texas A&M is going to lead the SEC in rushing this year. Okay. And I think in no small part because of this offensive line, they are senior laden. They return mostly all of their useful players. The players that left, I think that's actually a bonus. For example, TJ Shanahan went to Penn State. I think they got better with that move, and I think they were eager to get some younger guys on the second team. I like their starters. Armaj Adams, their guard, is going to be first team All-SEC. He's a good player, a six-year player. Ian, that's a characteristic of this offensive line. A ton of six-year players, a ton of seniors, a lot of college football. And then a guy like Chase Bizantis, kind of a punchline early in his career, but he was playing out of position and he was playing too early. And that's a very bad combo for any player in college football. It's a really bad combo for an offensive line, playing out of position and too young. Bizantis is now back at guard. He's now a junior. I think he's going to be a good player. So I don't see a first-round draft pick on this offensive line. I do see at least two or three future pros. I think A&M is going to play good offensive line, run-oriented football. Yeah. And I think they're going to be adequate as pass protectors. What do you think about the Aggies?
They're good. I think that's a pretty good choice. I'm curious that you didn't think that either Ohio State or Georgia were also worthy of consideration.
Well, we're going to find out if they are, because you're up. You're on the clock.
I thought we were just doing two.
Oh, we're just doing two, or you want to go two? You want to go another pair of selections? Let's do another pair.
Sure.
Our producer says do more.
Against my better judgment, I'm going to take Ohio State.
Okay.
I kind of liked some of their interior linemen that ended up having to play in the playoffs. And Sireveld ended up playing tackle for them. And they say he's been amazing this offseason, and he actually won the left tackle job rather than either of the two transfers they brought in. So they're the huge right guy and the other Minnesota guy are now battling for right tackle. So to me, that suggests the floor of the Ohio State line is a little better than we thought it might have been.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And their protection is generally good with Day.
I also think, to your point, that interior offensive line was the group they finally put together for their playoff run.
Yeah.
Can you name an offensive line interior that was more tested over that four-game stretch? Tennessee, Texas, Notre Dame, and of course
Oregon.
Oregon. Yeah. All, I mean, let's look at the NFL draft and look at all the defensive tackles that were drafted. It's just an endless list of those guys. So those guys are battle tested. I'm a little concerned about that other tackle spot, and sure. I think we're going to have some opportunity there. I think it'll be interesting. So I'm left with, I think, really a pick that I have to take based just on upside. It's Georgia.
Yeah.
They return Ernest Green, who's a good player at one tackle spot, but they're replacing four other players. So why would I take them? Well, because we're only able to pick from our opponents, and I'm not going to pick Sam Houston State's offensive line. But Georgia has racked up a lot of talent. They do have, I think, pretty good coaching on their offensive line. And I think they've got a lot of guys that are probably ready to go. They're just a year out from being blooded and experienced enough to be a really good offensive line. So I'll close this unit out with Georgia. I end up with A&M and Georgia. You ended up with Florida and Ohio State. I think I might like your picks better than mine.
I got the first one, so it always helps.
Helps to go first, baby.
Yeah. All right, you get that. You get that privilege. Now we're going to do running backs.
Ooh, we're doing running backs. I would have rather had the first pick for another group.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick running backs, and I'm going to win this one. I'm taking Florida.
Yeah. And this is just for everybody. This is all the running backs, the running back room.
Yeah, you get the whole room, not just one player. Right. Yeah, if it was just one player, that could I wouldn't change things either. I still like Florida. I love Jaden Ball. As a true freshman last year, he had just under 700 yards rushing, but in a three-man, three-headed quarter running back room for Florida. He's 235 pounds, Ian. Pound for pound, he's the strongest guy at the Florida program. I don't know if you heard about any of his conditioning stuff. The guy's an absolute freak, and he's great on the football field. For a 235-pound guy, he has amazing feet. And he runs outside zone beautifully. He's a good gap runner when they do go gap. Florida's pretty heavy zone. I love him. I love his backup, Jacoby Jackson. That guy hit us hard in Austin. He rushed for over 100 yards.
Yeah.
He's a good player. And then Florida's got some younger guys that they absolutely love. They adore, who are really talented. So I love Florida's running back room. I can tell you right now, Jaden Baugh, put that name on your radar if you want to be a college football ball knower. This is a guy who could rush for 1,500 yards, 17 touchdowns, and be the all, you know, the SEC player of the year on offense. He has that potential. What do you think, Ian?
Florida, I would have gone Florida too.
All right. Who's your second pick?
This is going to be a mirror. I'm going to go with the Aggies.
Oh, you like Le'Veon Moss.
Le'Veon Moss is a very good player.
Yes, he is.
If he's healthy and back, which I assume he will be. I think they're going to be better behind him with another year to develop some guys. Reuben Owens, another year to try to get healthy. This is cheating, but their quarterback is also kind of a running back.
That's cheating. We're not doing that.
Marcel Reed is one of the twitchier athletes in college football, though.
He will help those running backs, though. You're right.
Yeah. It's mostly Le'Veon Moss, though, and then just not being totally barren behind him again.
All right, I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to challenge you real quick. You ready for the praise or the challenge first?
Build me up first.
I'm going to build you up first. Moss was averaging 6.3 yards per carry and had 10 touchdowns before his season-ending injury. And he missed their last four games, basically. So he would have been, you know, a 1,300-yard rusher. A&M's run game disappeared once he went away. And here's why, and here's the challenge, Ian. I don't like his backups. I think – so Mr. Super Explosive Ruben Owens averages 3.9 yards per carry in 2 years as a college running back. Amari Daniels, to me, is a jack. He's college replacement running back. So to me, this running back room is just Moss and then some guys.
Owens with coming back from an ACL.
So you think he's better than he profiled in
he might be.
Okay.
They do have another freshman that's a little freaky sounding named Morrow. He's like really big and fast, you know, like 215, kind of big.
Okay.
But yes, that is my big hesitation. They were useless when Moss went down last year.
Yeah.
They're running back. So
I agree. That's a good second pick. I think I would have taken them as my second. So I'm up on the clock. And I'm going to kind of mirror this in that I like the frontline starter and I don't like anyone else. I like Jaden Nott at OU. I've got to draft the whole running back room. But Jaden Nott, before last year, where he got hit by some injuries playing on a bad offense.
Yeah.
Listen to this, Ian. As a freshman and a sophomore at Cal, 2,202 yard rushing over 2 years, 517 yards receiving. 5.3 yards per carry, 25 total touchdowns. Cal did not have a good offensive line. A lot of those line yards he created. And Ott is a guy who can catch the ball to the backfield. He's a good runner. He's added power. And he's got finishing speed. Ott is a guy who can drop a 60, 70-yard run on you if you mess up your run fits. So I'm going to go with Jaden Ott. I don't like who they have behind him. Javonte Barnes is just a definition of a jag, but I like Ott. So I'm going to take OU over, I think, some of the perhaps more, let's say appealing rooms, but I actually like Jaden Ott quite a bit. I watched him and he excelled. Remember, people are like, oh, the Pac-12 or what? The Pac that last year was the best the Pac has ever been, right? So he actually ran the ball really well against some very good defenses.
You know, I don't think I fully made that association with him in some of those nasty Cal rushing attacks of previous years. Cameron Thuran, bud of mine on X, would just praise their run game in those years to the heavens for how physical they were and ought. All right. I have more options now than I was expecting to have. I thought we were going to mirror the same four teams as the O-line. I'm going to go Ohio State.
Was your choice Ohio State, Georgia?
Yeah. CJ Donaldson.
I like him
a lot. Curious if he's healthy and ready to go, but I believe he was pretty good last year. Then they have a number of 4 or 5-star young guys coming up behind him. One of whom is named Bo Jackson.
Yes, the freshman. He's not wearing number 34, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's.
Yeah, the guy you'll see before 25. Him, though, is a Texas product. People.
Yeah. I don't know, though. Georgia's tough. I mean, was that the fourth pick?
That was it.
Georgia has Frazier back.
Yeah, I like Frazier.
I think he will be a lot better in year two.
You know who they added to?
Who's that?
They added Illinois' big power back, McCray.
Mm. I didn't know that. That may have changed my pick.
Yeah, he's a pretty good power runner. I mean, you won't see him and be like, oh my God, but you know, he's a pretty solid dude. So yeah, I think that was a good. Those were your choices, Georgia, Ohio State, and you
picked. I like Cass Jones too.
I think pass catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a running back, he'd be another Jag, like Barnes or somebody else we could mention and won't. But his receiving ability out of the backfield is really awesome.
Yeah. Hey, you know a unit where if we drafted, there'd only be one person we need to draft, Ian?
I do.
What is it?
It'd be if you needed a mortgage.
If you need a mortgage and you need a mortgage guy, there's only one guy. The 1-1 of the 2025 draft is Gabe Winslow. You can reach him at 832-557-1095 or go to mortgagesbygabe.com. Here's the deal. If your current interest rate is 6.5% or higher, call Gabe, get refied. There is a high probability, I mean like 90% chance, he can refi you for free. Oh, there's some catch. No, there's no catch. He does this all the time. It's why he's one of the highest volume mortgage guys in the state of Texas. He's outstanding at what he does. Over 20 years in the industry, he's got a law degree. He's always ranked in the elite of mortgage brokers in terms of volume and customer satisfaction. Go read his Google reviews. It's over 200 people raving about him. They're all real reviews. It's not a guy from Hyderabad, India that says most best, all in lowercase. Call Gabe, 832-557-1095. All right, we're moving on in our draft. Are we going to wide receiver, tight end, pass catchers? Yes, we are.
Yep.
Well, Ian, this is going to be such a hard choice for you.
I'm so glad. Well, now we're going a little deeper. But I really struggled to figure out who I would take if I didn't get Ohio State.
Oh, I've got it. And I'll tell you why it's a clear answer when I do have the opportunity after you take Ohio State.
Interesting. Ohio State has probably the best player in college football, Jeremiah Smith.
Yep.
They have a guy named Mylon Graham that they're like trying to figure out, can we get him on the field?
Yeah.
And he's going to be the next Ibuka or Jackson Smith ninja. Carnell Tate is back. Max Clair is a receiving tight end, way better receiving tight end than I've ever seen in the Ryan Day era at Ohio State. They are absolutely loaded. This is the most terrifying unit Texas will face in 2025.
Of any group, this is the scariest. I agree with you 100%. I think Jeremiah Smith is incredible.
In his games, I believe it's actually the starting slot if he can hold off Graham.
Yeah, well, they've got – that's the other thing that's striking is I watched their spring game just like you did, Ian. You probably noticed that their second team receivers would start for 92% of college football.
They keep doing it, man. Every year I'm like, okay, well, those guys are gone. So, yeah. And they got the Chris Henry from Matter Day.
Yeah.
Like the number one guy that everyone's like, if there's a sure thing receiver in the class of 2026, it's this guy who's already committed to Ohio State.
Yeah, they're loaded. There's really not much to discuss. I mean, it just is what it is. Fortunately, we're going to have some opportunities to maybe diffuse that room when we play them in the opener. And Ian and I will get into all those X's and O's and personal matchups at a future date. It's a little too early to burn that right now. But yeah. I'm going to pick number two is Georgia. And to me, they are the clear number two. And here's why. We're looking at all pass catchers. That includes the tight ends.
Oh, yeah.
Georgia has a great combination of tight ends in Lawson Luckley and Oscar Delp. These are both future NFL guys. I'm not saying they're like first rounders or even second rounders, but these are both future NFL tight ends. Georgia's got both of them. And then Georgia probably upgraded their wide receiver room this offseason more than any team in college football other than Penn State. And here's why, Ian. First of all, they stank last year at wide receiver. They brought in Zachariah Branch from USC. Very explosive guy. He's not a complete player, but he's very athletic. If you can get him in space, he's very dangerous. Yes. Noah Thomas, great big body wide receiver outside. Not super explosive, but he's 6'6". I don't think A&M was able to exploit him to his best abilities. I think he's going to flourish a little more. Then they bring back a guy from suspension, Colby Young. He was a transfer from Miami last year. Wasn't able to play because of an off-field incident, but he's only got a year of probation and he can play.
Did you see what it was? Yeah, I did.
We're not getting all that. So Colby Young is actually really talented, like raw talent. They talk about him like the way they were talking about AD Mitchell before he transferred out. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Mitchell. I'm just saying he's a 6'4" guy who can fly with long limbs. And then Dylan Bell is coming back. And instead of the pressure of being like the number two receiver, he's now their number four, number five gadget guy, which he excels at. He's an athletic big guy who can run, you know, 210, 215.
Yeah.
I think I like Georgia's pass catchers quite a bit. I think it's the second best unit that we'll face. The question is whether Gunnar Stockton can unlock them.
They even have another best white guy waiting in the wings, London Humphreys.
London Humphreys, who's a Vanderbilt transfer.
One of the wider names yet.
He's their Parker Livingston.
Yeah. Okay, Georgia. Interesting.
Who's your number three?
Let's see here. I'm going to go Texas A&M. They added two transfers. Kevin Concepcion from NC State is a pretty good player. Mario Craver, very fast, dangerous outside. They technically have Terry Bussey. We've not seen much of him yet. He may be miscast on offense. They have Amari Nyblack in theory. He's a pretty dangerous pass catcher. The problem is that he's supposed to be a tight end, and it's supposed to be, you know, with it, taking football seriously. So I don't feel great about this pick. You can pick it apart if you want.
So here's the positive of your pick. Craver is a really fast guy from Mississippi State who can take the top off, and he runs simple routes, which I think, like, run fast forward. And then Concepcion and Bussey are going to stretch the field horizontally. A lot of screen game, bubble game, quick stops, get the ball in their hands, yak. I think those are good additions for Marcel Reed and his skill set.
Marcel One Reed.
Yes, Marcel One Reed. And he's always reading his wristband trying to figure out the play that just got called. That'll be like the Garrett Gilbert squint for Aggie fans, I predict, where he's always trying to like decipher he has that puzzled look on his face. Concepcion was an incredible freshman for NC State, and he was terrible as a sophomore.
Yeah.
What I hear from Aggies who aren't insane is that they're getting the freshman Concepcion right now. So he does have a reputation as a little bit of a front runner. Like, things aren't going great, he may lock it, he may shut it down. But when things are going well, he's a really dangerous guy with the ball in his hands. And I actually like Bussey in that sort of bubble screen, yak, carrying the ball, doing orbit motion, jet sweeps. That's all part of Colin Klein's offense, and I think it's going to be a good fit. So I don't think there's anything wrong with your pick at all. I think it's solid.
Did you see the practice clips of him?
Yeah.
Going around.
That's not his route, man.
He looked like he like stopped halfway through the route. It was like corner of the end zone that way. And like it's weird.
So you know I coach sixth graders, right? Like tackle football. They'll do stuff like you'll tell them a route and it'll be wide open and your receiver will just start jogging in the middle of the route or stop for no reason. And you'll be like, why did you stop, Jackson? And he'll be like, I thought the play was over. I didn't know that I was the guy. I'm like, you didn't know you were the guy when I pointed on the whiteboard and said, Jackson, this is you. Do this. He's like, no, I didn't understand. And you're like, okay, cool. So maybe he's got a little bit of that.
Can't tell you how many times I like drew up plays on the field. It's like, you just do this, you do this, and you do this. And then they all go and just do whatever.
It's one of the funniest things about coaching youth, but it's rewarding as well. Cause when it clicks and you see them do like a high IQ thing, it's like so rewarding, but it takes a while. All right. Number four, you've left me slim pickings. And Ian, this is something we probably need to hit on in the future again. We're not going to face a ton of elite wide receiver and pass catching groups.
Yeah. And if people are going to be throwing it in my face all year that I was so concerned about the secondary, and I'll just have to be like, just wait till the playoffs.
Well, what's going to happen is we're going to like destroy Vanderbilt, and they're going to be like, oh, Ian, LOL, where are your secondary concerns, right? But my point is we're going to face one super elite unit
and then two or three
good ones, right?
Yeah.
So Florida is probably who I pick for number four.
Oh, okay. I had another one if it had gotten to me.
Yeah, it's somewhat debatable, but I actually like their offseason reports. I heard really good things about Dallas Wilson, this true freshman. He set the Florida spring game receiving record, receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Basically, if you see him, and I went and watched a little footage of him, he looks like a starter kit Rome Odunze, basically. They've got Eugene Wilson, who goes by Trey. Don't Google what his dad did Super Bowl Eve. It's interesting. But he's really good. He was in that 3 yards in a cloud of dust, Graham Mertz passing offense. Then he got injured. Now he's back. And then they brought in a couple of five-star freshmen who can fly, just pure speed guys. And I think that's a good compliment to DJ Lagway. Finally, they added J. Michael Sturdivant in the portal. Yeah. Sturdivant is a guy who started at UCLA, 2 years at Cal. He has about 120 college catches, big body possession receiver. So I think they're okay. I'll let you go ahead and tell me why you think the Oklahoma Sooners are the best or the fourth best receiving unit.
Yeah, we have a note from the producer. Ian, you can add your final pick if it's OU. Of course it's not OU. OU's receiver room is like the number one reason I feel confident about the Red River Shootout this year.
All right, I'm actually curious to see who you pick. Are you going to go like San Jose State or something?
I'm just going to keep my powder dry on this one until we get to the next category.
What? You're not going to tell us who you pick instead of Florida?
No, I'm not.
What the hell? Okay. Fine. You're punishing us, I guess.
Florida is the right pick. I'll say that.
All right. All right, well, now we get to do quarterback. And I get the first pick.
Yeah.
So I think there's actually some interesting debates to be had on this. I don't think they're quite as apparent as some people might think. I think we can have some good debates on this one. But I'm just going to draft pure upside here. I'm taking Florida's DJ Lagway.
Yes.
I understand that he's somehow, despite being 240 pounds and jacked and 6'3", that he's somehow also made out of tissue paper. I get it. But when he plays, Florida's good. And when he doesn't play, they're not good. They were 6-1 when he was a starter. And they were leading Georgia before he went out with an injury, if you recall. Here's what makes him so interesting. And I'm going to read to you straight from the Burner Orange Bible here, Ian.
Oh, good.
Last year, he was 19 of 36 for 733 yards on bombs. That's any play 20 yards past the line of scrimmage. That's over 50% completions. He averaged 20.4 yards per attempt on those throws. So we say Arch throws bombs. DJ Lagway throws ICBMs, and he was not throwing to open wide open receivers, by the way. He's dropping balls in. I mean, he has a beautiful touch on his deep balls, and that's what makes him so scary. He's not as refined in other areas. Also, it's worth mentioning, Ian, he was injured last year. He had a hamstring tear, so he wasn't able to run. DJ Lagway can run.
Yeah.
And he's a very physical runner. And short yardage, he could be devastating. Yeah. So I'm going to take DJ Lagway. To me, he's the clear pick. I understand other people could say, well, the dude might miss the whole season. I get that. But I'm going to draft upside.
I've had some of my terrific Substack readers that are SEC fans have been like, Blackley's not really much of a running threat, though, Ian. I don't know why you keep saying that. And I'm like, not so fast.
Yeah, you'll see.
You might see. Do you think it's possible that him being so heavy is part of the reason why he keeps having soft tissue? Maybe he's not hydrating well enough to maintain.
I don't know. And Florida people don't know. I know some Florida people decently, and they're, it's a mystery to them. And the thing is, I'm sorry.
Do they have the P chart up?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe he's got the Ryan Wingo thing where he thinks hydration is you drink a liter of Pepsi for breakfast or something. I don't know.
I'm wondering now if Wingo's hammy in the spring was the same problem.
A ton of soft tissue injuries are a function of dehydration and not taking care of your body. It's also like really explosive athletes. You know, I'm in little danger of tearing my hamstring, Ian, because I just don't really reach those MPH, you know, that those guys do.
The RPM, right?
That's right. So Lagway, we're going to find out, but he may just be a guy that's always got something. I don't know. The question is, even if he's at 80%, he's a really good, dangerous college quarterback.
I can't believe how good he is at throwing bombs, including on the move.
The touch he has is ridiculous.
It's a little Mahomesy.
Yeah.
Where you're like, wait, if we have to defend 70 yards down the field, even when the quarterback is on the move, no, I can't do that. Sorry.
So that's the potential scary upside of Florida.
Yeah.
Like they can wreck all the prognostications of the SEC if that guy's healthy. So we'll see. Who's your number two, Ian?
All right.
Uh-oh.
I am going to throw a curveball at you.
No. Is it? Are you going to do it?
And then I got – no, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, okay.
I got an even bigger curve. I got a knuckle curve coming.
Oh, I know who it is then. I know what you're saying. I know who it is. Go ahead.
The curve is Gunnar Stockton.
Oh, God. I don't know who it is. Oh, no. What is happening?
Just wait for the knuckle. The knuckle curve is really going to –
oh my God, contrary Ian. Oh, are you? Is the rest of that sentence gets injured and then his replacement is your guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
I rewatched the Notre Dame game.
Okay.
I feel like he made a few good reads.
Yeah.
That were kind of surprised me. He threw some bombs that were very good. They were dropped by his receivers. His turnovers were like instances where he was getting hit blindsided within, like, when he's still like processing the first read and the progression. So I think he's a little more savvy than his aw shucks deliverance backdrop
deliverance
would indicate. And I think, and he also has major value add as a runner. So when you have a guy, if he's smart with the ball, which I think he might be, it's possible he's very much not smart with the ball. We've seen him do some dumb things too. If he's smart with the ball, he can hit bombs and he brings value add in the run game.
Right.
Then we're at the, like the Dylan Gabriel deal where you can nitpick a million different things, but at the end of the day, he's going to be super effective.
Okay.
You're rethinking Gunnar Stockton now.
No, I still. So I do agree he made some good throws against Notre Dame. I also thought he looked a little confused. Notre Dame has a good secondary, so I get it. He also just had some sort of football IQ errors that were compounded by some of the things Smart was doing, I think, in managing that game. You remember Notre Dame scored like 17 points in 9 seconds? Off of like buffoonery.
I don't see how that was him. There was a kick return.
Yeah, but a winner would not allow that. He would have talked to the kick team. Come on, Ian.
Have you seen Tom Brady's recent deal on Burrow?
No.
Where he's like, what are you doing to make your defense better? What are you doing with the personnel department to make sure you guys
all right, we're not doing a Boyd tangent. Stop.
It's great. I'll send it to you later. It's
all right, so I'm going to do my second draft pick. I've got a choice between two varieties of dual threat winner. I've got the original version that's tried and true, and that raised the Vanderbilt Commodores from SEC winless to Bama beaters, Ian. Or I can choose the shinier, bigger, handsomer Hollywood version that plays for OU now called John Mateer.
Yeah.
Who should I pick, Ian?
All right. I think you should pick Mateer.
Yeah. And I'm going to take Mateer. And here's why. One, I want to give you the chance to get a good quarterback in round three with Pavia. Or round four with Pavia.
No, this time I'm sticking to my...
You blew your Gunnar Stockton pick, and I'm trying to give you a chance to get a winner on your team. Nope. But I'm going to go with Mateer, and here's why. Last year, the guy, he's a Little Elm, Texas product. For those of you who don't know, he's originally from Texas. Played for Washington State. He threw for over 3,000, rushed for over 1,000 if you don't include sack yards. If you do include sack yards, 826 yards rushing with 15 touchdowns. At the college level, the effective, really good running dual threat quarterback who actually can stay in the game, he can take hits. That's cheat code. It just is. And Mateer is going to offer that to OU. Also, as a passer, inconsistent, I'll admit, he makes great throws sometimes.
Yeah.
Like shockingly good throws where you're like, how do you get that in there?
Yeah.
He also makes some throws where you're like, ooh, why did you try that, John?
Why did you write sports gambling and specify a specific
right. thing? Yes, right.
Didn't you see the why safety you was right there?
$5,000 on your Venmo. here's the thing. Think of him as an upgraded Diego Pavia. Don't think of him as an NFL draft pick. Like, don't go by like the NFL draft evaluators. This is a college quarterback. Think of him as like a potentially upgraded Diego Pavia in terms of his physical skills. And if you haven't seen him, the guy's a unit. He's jacked. 6'1", 220, big legs. He can take hits, and he pops up. Kind of similar to Sam Ehlinger. Doesn't throw as well as Sam in some ways. Probably better, much more dangerous runner.
Yeah. He's like a middle-class man's Johnny Football.
Yeah, he doesn't have that just elite quickness and creativity that Manziel had. But I kind of get what you're saying. The improv.
You gotta pay a rich man's wages to get that.
That's right.
So
that's my number three pick to go with DJ Lagway. Who's your number four, Ian? Who's your second pick?
You offered me a chance to
I'm offering you Pavia on a platter.
You're giving me a great opportunity to make sure that I make good choices.
The only college quarterback, Pavia, by the way, who has led his team to outright victory as a 3-touchdown or more dog 3 times in his college career. No other college quarterback has ever done that. I'm offering you Diego Pavia.
I defy
your offer. Slap away your offer.
Kick you into the well, uncovered well that Spartans strangely put in the middle of their town square.
Yeah, that's not good for Spartan kids. I feel like there's a lot of infant mortality in Sparta because of that well.
Amongst other things, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want to put a spotlight on somebody that is probably not actually going to threaten Texas very much, but may be a good tune-up and test.
Blake Chapin.
Owen McCown.
Oh! We're not playing Owen McCown.
Oh, you're right.
We're not playing UTSA, you nitwit.
It's a good thing I didn't make my receiver pick.
Hell of a job, Ian. No, you know what? He doesn't get a pick. Producer, I want a judgment. He doesn't get a pick for his ridiculous errors. He just gets Gunners. Yes! You just have Gunnar Stockton. Live with it and die with it, Ian.
I have no backup. I'm leaving it at Pavia.
You're done.
I don't play in UTSA. But Owen McCown and UTSA could be a pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's not relevant to anything we're doing. Thank you, Ian, for your tangent. We're moving on for our final pick. We're picking offensive coordinator scheme. Ian, You've covered yourself in shame and humiliation. I'm going to offer this to you. Go ahead and pick first.
Isn't it my turn anyway?
I'm trying to pretend to be magnanimous.
I don't feel like I put enough thought into this one, but I'm going to take Ryan Day. Technically, the head coach.
He's not the OC.
So whatever, the AT wrecker guy that they re-promoted back to their wide receivers coach, with Ryan Day guiding his hand like a Ouija board to let him know where to.
Hey, by the way, have you ever done Ouija boards like when you were younger?
No.
I did. But it's not real, Ian, just so you know. I was the person who would guide it to do stuff, just so you know. Anyone who played Ouija board with me when I was a kid, when like we were all 12, just so you know, I was the one doing all that. All right. You're taking Ryan Day.
We have a mutual friend that would have been interested to hear that.
That's right. Ryan Day, that's a good pick. You've redeemed yourself after the humiliation of that last round.
It wasn't that hard.
Well done. I'm going to do something. I want to bring Diego Pavia back in, and here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the alt offensive coordinator, right? I'm going to take Tim Beck. No, not that Tim Beck. The Tim Beck, who's the offensive coordinator at Vanderbilt, he is the guy that put together that system that fitted to Diego Pavia. Here's the truth about Pavia, Ian. If you transferred him to Texas right now, our team would get worse.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. If you transferred him to play at Ohio State, their team would actually get worse.
Oh, yeah.
Put him on Vanderbilt, and they go from the laughingstock of college football to bowl winner, beat Georgia Tech, you know, the big darling, media darling going into that bowl game, beat Alabama for the first time in 40 years, played several other teams within one score, all because of the structure of this offense. Tim Beck has created a masterful college offense. It has no translation to any level of the NFL at all. But at the college, or I'd argue probably the high school level, they can control games, they can control tempo, and they raise Diego Pavia from sort of this scrappy guy who should be at a JUCO somewhere to one of the winningest and best quarterbacks in college football in terms of pure efficacy and efficiency. I actually get into why he's so good in that offense here. I devote 4 or 5 paragraphs to explaining the offense and structure. It's really cool what he does and how he creates so much indecision in the defense and how they create so much ball control, which is a big key to Vanderbilt winning football games. So Tim Beck from Vanderbilt, that is my choice because I want to just extol the virtues of a guy who's doing it differently.
Hat tip also to Jerry Kill.
Yeah.
Who's Beck's mentor and is on the staff as a consultant. Kill has always been really good at that as well, and he's involved in some regard. Very impressive guy, Coach Jerry Kill.
Yeah, he would not have drafted out Owen McCown in this draft, just so you know. Kill's pretty on the ball. He's pretty aware. He's one of those coaches that would look at the schedule that his team would play before the season and, like, know those teams.
I should have picked the Sam Houston State guy.
The Hunter Watson.
That guy's actually, like, pretty good.
No, he's not.
Sure he is.
No, he's not. All right. Ian, all right. You did a great job in your draft, and then
I got another pick. When are we going to 4?
Oh, we're doing 4?
We did for every other position.
No, please, draft someone from Akron. Apparently, we're playing them.
If it had been Toledo, I'd say Jason Candle's actually got a nice little system up there. Jeff Levy.
I knew that was coming.
Again, the head coach. Levy is cleverer than I thought. He's been just as good outside from Lane Kiffin's supervision as he was with Kiffin.
Yep.
Like, once every game, he finds some different formation and runs in a run from it. The other team is like, wait, we don't know how to fit this. Something's off. And then just, like, spams it. until they score a touchdown and the other team adjusts. He's I think, the most creative beer and shoot offensive coordinator in the game right now, unless you count Kiffin, in which case they're kind of neck and neck. I really want to think – I really think that he might make it at Mississippi State. But they keep drawing these just absolutely brutal schedules, so I don't know.
Brutal schedules, and they can't keep their playmaking receivers on campus.
They still have guys, though. Like, they even have – they still have some guys there even after getting poached so hard.
Yeah, I like Lebby. I think he's a good offensive coach. His game plan against Texas in 23 was outstanding, in my opinion. Did a great job. I have no problem.
His 2022 game plan, I think, was kind of underrated.
Well, I mean, he didn't have a lot to work with, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He had nothing. Their backup quarterbacks were absolute garbage.
So I'm going to go, actually, so I tried to do a little alt pick to raise the football IQ, which is what the deep dive is about. I took the Vanderbilt offensive coordinator to sort of show why they were successful last year. I'm going to take a guy who's kind of tried and true, kind of a more traditional offensive coordinator who's actually, his thing is not as much scheme as a tremendous feel for play calling. It's Bobby Petrino from Arkansas.
Ah.
Historically, I think a very tried and true offensive mind. I think universally one of the more respected offensive minds in college football, I think, over, you know, multiple decades. And you saw evidence of that last year with Arkansas. Talen Green, very dynamic in some ways. In other ways, he's a big limiting factor on what Petrino is trying to do with his offense, because Talen Green can't read progressions. But Petrino, if you study him and you study his history, whether at Arkansas or Louisville, he has always done a really good job with the passing game, and he has tremendous feel for when the exact point is to call that one play and to reveal that one look. I think he's just a good all-around offensive mind. What do you think about that, Ian?
That's a really good pick. I thought you were going to go with like Napier or whoever. If I don't know if he's outsourced that at Florida to somebody.
No, else. Napier still calls plays at Florida. He does a good job, but I think Petrino
is like a middle class. He's like a middle class man, Sark.
Yeah, similar. I think that's good. But yeah, I like Petrino.
That's it. That's a great pick.
He's a good offensive mind. So.
Your team is going to be coordinated and field generaled at a much higher level than my team.
That is true. Although you have the Ohio State receivers, so you might just break a bunch of 70-yard plays and make all my scheming irrelevant.
Yeah, I'll be okay.
Well, I'm going to control the ball. I got the Vanderbilt offensive coordinator. So enjoy your three possessions. It's going to be like playing Army. All right, guys, hey, this has been an informative and fun deep dive. Ian and I have done our typical thing. And what you need to do that's very atypical, if you haven't signed up yet, is get Inside Texas for $1 for your first week. As a bonus, your membership includes a complimentary year to The Athletic. Hey, this is the best place for Texas football conversation and even broader football. We talk about a lot there. Come join and find out. And then finally, hey, go get the Burnt Orange Bible, guys. You won't regret it. It's awesome. It's going to give you an amazing sense, not only of this year's Texas football team, but all of our opponents and kind of what the larger zeitgeist is in college football in a lot of different areas. I break down a lot of different stuff. So get it. It's well worth the time. And Ian, I want to thank you. Thanks for your excellent contributions. Even your non-excellent contribution was highly entertaining and helped break up the show. So that was an awesome contribution as well. For Ian Boyd, I'm Paul Wadlington saying thanks for joining us. Welcome.